Hello?
Hi, can I speak to George McDonald, please?
Yeah, who's this?
Hi, George. My name's Michael. I'm calling from MMA Legal, the law firm helping you with your Scottish redress case.
Uh-huh.
How are you, George?
Yeah, I'm good.
Fantastic. My name's Michael, George. As I said, I'm a senior investigator at MMA. Do you have 5 minutes to have a chat with me about your case, sir?
Yeah, okay.
Fantastic, George. Thank you. Just to let you know, all of our calls are recorded for training and monitoring purposes. It's my job, George, to not drag up, you know, the statements that you've already told us. And obviously, your time and care, from your time and care. It's my job to get to know you, get to know your case, get as much information as I can from you before I start sending out letters and demands for the information. The idea, George, is to try and understand how your time and care has followed you into your adult life, the effects it's had on you. And then I can obviously then write to those relevant authorities, whether that be NHS, GPs.
I thought this was already been in process. That had already been done. I mean, dealing with Drew, Andrew,
yeah.
And that was certainly, he certainly and explained everything back then. And so if you speak to Drew, he'll certainly give you all the information that
I
said.
I get that. I get you're in care. I've got all your care details here. I've got all of your statements.
Yeah.
It's more about, George, what's happened to you since your time in care. This is my job. So whether that's you've been affected with sort of depression, anxiety, like PTSD, so I can write to your doctor and I can get all that information from your doctor, whether it's alcohol, if you've suffered with any sort of alcohol or drug misuse. I can then obviously write to the, you know, rehabilitation centres, so I can get all that information so I can build an accurate picture of how your time in care has affected you throughout your life. So we can obviously substantiate your claim, give you the best chance of getting the most amount of money.
Yeah, okay.
All right, George. I understand that you have spoken to multiple people. I know Andrew's a colleague of mine, known very well. It's my job now to pick up your case from where Andrew left off with you, gather as much information about your adult life as I can, just so I can build a bigger, more accurate picture of, you know, of the impact and the trauma that you had from when you were a youngster, and how that's affected you into your adulthood.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm sorry you have to repeat yourself, but hopefully the questions I ask are not similar to the ones that you've already gone through. Have you suffered with any sort of depression, George, and anxiety, any PTSD?
No.
You've never been diagnosed with any of those?
No. I'm stubborn. Okay. I view my life as, am I part of the problem or part of the solution? And I need to become part of the solution. So I don't, this mental health thing, I think it's, even it's going about now, I think it's utter. Not, I mean, me personally, it's just a nonsense. People need to take ownership, responsibility for something. You know, think a lot of... mental depression, or what they call them, depressed or that. That's because, and I'll be straight, they're lazy, self-centred, you know, they need to take ownership, responsibility, you know, and there's no way. I think one thing what I did done, made sure I would never be a victim again, and I've tried to be aware of this, the corruption that I was a part of, and to make sure that it wouldn't happen again. So certainly, So I've never had anything like that.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Have you suffered any sort of alcohol or substance issues or abuse?
No. I've probably taken every kind of alcohol there is, but I've never had an effect on me. You know, I've drank everything. Mr. Gogs. I mean, I've been at parties where people be smoking that wacky backy, and that's the only time I think I've ever been stoned. But it was indirect, wasn't it? Because I was smoking, it was because it was... Yeah, it was because the room was full of it, eh? Like, but even now, I mean, I work with lads that been that regularly smoke marijuana, you know, like, and they've been telling me they've done it since I was 15, eh? And I'm thinking, oh, why? You know, like, but hey ho, that's different cultures, eh?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Okay, so there's no alcohol, no drugs, which is great. Which, I mean, it's great for you, obviously. No suffering with any sort of mental health. You never ever tried to take your own life, George, no?
No. No chance.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
No, it's suicide is certainly something that, it's something that I don't understand why.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah,
I get what you're saying, buddy.
Yeah.
I get it. I also obviously see the flip side of that, as you know, what some of these people, some people have been so badly mistreated in their childhood, and I get it. I get where they're at.
Absolutely. I'm described as a stubborn old bastard, which I really am. I mean, I'm stubborn, and I mean, I have my beliefs, I have my way, and that's it. I'm number one, I'm top boy. That's it. I mean, and anything that happens in my life is my fault. It's nobody else's fault. And another thing is, I mean, they like to understand me. I'm the best thing since sliced bread. You know, that's it. I mean, you've got to believe in yourself. You know, if you didn't believe in yourself, then you will become depressed. You'll become a victim. You know, like, I mean, I'm 66. I've had a stroke. I had a stroke 2 years ago. Most people would... I was a taxi driver for 30 years. I had a stroke, you know, like... and most people, when they're 64, had a stroke, would think you're retiring. I went back to work. I'm still working. I went back to work, you know, like, and that's it, and...
You're still in the taxis, are you, George?
No, I had to give up the taxis because the local council, the government took my licence away because, fair play, I mean, they don't want their taxi drivers to have strokes with people in the car.
Of course.
And I accepted that, and I went out and got a job in a factory. And I'm still there, eh, so... I mean, I'll sleep when I'm dead, but that's it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Do you know what, George? It's very rare I speak to somebody with that mental fortitude, and I really do commend you. Thank you. Well done. And you're right. You do have to back yourself. You do.
But one thing that MMA had done for me, I wanted when I was in the jail, and the CID, the detectives, came to me and accused me and got me to admit to a crime that I didn't commit. What they say to me, if I didn't admit to it, they'd make sure I got another 3 months in the jail. And I did admit to it because I was a child. I mean, I had no idea what was happening, not how the system worked. But and then when I came out, I told my social worker. My social worker just says, "Oh, just be a fine, just pay the fine." And he knew that I didn't commit the crime. And that's something that stuck with me, and something that definitely was that bothered me. No, that's something that I mean, the fact that these people, these people were in power. In me, it was a complete lie. I mean, I didn't do it. I was stealing a cheque and cashing it in. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But because I was afraid and I admitted to something, you know, like there was no justice. I think that's the hardest thing that to come away for that thing.
What would you like me to try and do for that then, George? What would you want me? Would I write to the CID department of that local police authority, or do you want me to write to your social worker? Well, how would you like me to try and get you some sort of resolution from that?
Both of the Falkirk and the social work. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, I thought you were. Just the only redress, I mean, I thought that was the people, BJ Scotland.
We don't just apply. What we do is we try and gather as much information. So we're not going to charge you fees just to apply.
Yeah, well,
to try and gather as much information as I can.
I think it was Malcolm Rifkin. I think he was the MP at the time who was into the short, sharp shock thing. That was his thing. I want him jailed. I want him executed. Absolutely. You know, like, I want him to be sent to jail, that MP. That's what I want. Him and Callaghan as well. I'm sure it was Callaghan at the time for Labour, Rifkin for the Tories. That was the two. That was just before Maggie Thatcher came into power. These were the two men that actually promoted and pushed the short, sharp shock philosophy, you know, like the Borstal idea. These were the men that was behind it, and they're still alive. But if you can get them jailed, that'd be, you can keep all the money. You know, like about that, I get you just get them jailed. That's justice. I get the thing is, I mean, that's not going to harm, but. It's ironic that now the government is admitting what they done was wrong, and yet they're not by handing people money. That's not justice. I mean, I like that term. If you could do that, hey, get Rifkin and Gill and Carlton. But they're protected. If you go for the Falkirk CID, whoever it was, and the social work, that would be, you get them guild.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll write to Falkirk CID, and I'll get you whatever information I can.
Well, Falkirk CID was that back in 1976, I think it was 1976, they accused me of stealing a gyro cheque. And I admitted it because they came to the prison that I was in and says to me, if you don't admit to this, you will get, we will take away your time, your free, we'll make it harder for you and we'll get you another 3 months in there. That's what they done. But and also the social work, certainly hit the social work, is they will have a record, actually. They'll have this on record, you know, like the social work department in Falkirk.
Okay, so I'm going to social work departments.
I can't mind the fella's name, but it wore... he wore Millport Necks high neck jumpers,
So I'm gonna write to all these. I'm gonna write to Falkirk CID. I'm gonna write to the social work, or the authorities that deal with the social workers in Falkirk. I'm gonna also write to the local authority of the of Glencoil, where you stayed.
The local,
I'm going to get you all the information, George. Do you want copies of everything I get?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's copies? Okay, so once I have all this, what I'm going to then do is me and you are going to go through all this information together. We're going to make sure we've got absolutely everything wrapped up in your statements. Along with all the support and evidence, we're then going to submit that case to Scottish Redress to substantiate your claim. From there, George, we'll then get a panel date. From the panel date, we'll hopefully get an offer. We'll then advise you whether to accept or reject that offer. Our senior lawyer, Matt Bell, he'll advise you whether to accept or reject it, and then obviously it's hopefully get you the recognition and the compensation that you deserve, George.
I thought this was already the process, that process was already happening, that you'd already contacted Redress. No, is that okay?
True, yes. So we've already contacted Redress, George. We've got an application number for you.
Yeah.
What we've done is give them notice that we are going to claim.
Right.
So we've put it on record, if you like.
Yeah.
And what we've also told them is that we're going away together, supporting evidence. So we're not going to rule on your case just yet, because also it's circumstantial, if you like.
Yeah.
And it's my job to go out and get you the actual physical evidence.
Evidence of,
time where you were, any sort of effects it's had on you, as in your adult life, whether that be, like you said, I'll write to the CID, I'll write to the social workers department in Falkirk Council. I'll get you all of the information I can.
I get that. I mean, the thing, that one thing, certainly, but the rest is, you already have the record of what happened, my abuse, the sexual abuse, that I went through, and you already have that.
I have
all that. Yeah. Drew has all that, yeah. So I thought that's what the claim was going to be on.
It is.
Right, okay, so that's...
massively, yeah.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is providing, so I could, without, no disrespect, I could have heard my friend was abused at this institution, and I could apply. Now, what I'm going out to do is get the records that you were there at this time, in this year, and this person who was notorious has done this. What happens then is I'll present that to the Scottish Redress, and they'll look at it and go, yeah, we've had hundreds of complaints about this place, about this person
I can't remember their names, but one thing I can't remember the woman who's running the Redress Scotland, but she has investigated Glen O'Cole, where I was, and she is kind of convinced that it did go on.
We don't doubt you, George.
I'm not.
We doubt you is because we're trying to give you the best chance to get the most amount of money. It's all on our dime. We pay for all our time. We're doing this obviously on a no win, no fee basis with you.
It's
in our best interest as well as your best interest to get the most evidence or as much evidence as we can to give you the best chance.
Yeah. One thing I did do was I was embarrassed to apply for jobs jobs because you've got a criminal record.
Yeah.
But then that was an embarrassment. It wasn't something that you bragged about, if you asked how it affected me, it was, it made me ashamed, by being in jail, it wasn't something that you're proud of. It's certainly, the shame, and I actually feel or believe that the shame was a good thing. It kept me on the straight and narrow. That's how I viewed the shame, eh?
That's how you compartmentalised it.
But certainly there was jobs that I thought, oh, if I go for this, I'll ask you if we've got a criminal record and you'll not get it. So you tended to stay in the one kind of era, low paid jobs. Well, I eventually became self-employed.
It limited you at the time.
It certainly limited me at the time. I was guilty of joyriding, sitting in a car. I'm guilty as that's it, and I accept the thing is I accept the punishment. because that's the punishment I got. I mean, like, but then now looking back, it was a bit heavy-handed, especially. See, things changed. I mean, like, things changed. I mean, back in the 70s, you know, like, it was, things have changed.
Yeah.
In that time, in the past 50 years, you know, it's certainly changed to now. But the abuse in the jail should never have happened.
No,
but that's it. I mean, I'm not, as I say, there's nothing. I've never been, depressed for it. I didn't do nothing like that to me.
Okay.
Yeah, no problem. George, do you have any questions for me, buddy, about how I'm going to do and what my role is and how I'm going to do
it? Yeah, so I didn't catch your name. I mean, could we have an email? Could we keep in touch by email? So I can have a trail of what's happening instead. I mean, it's WhatsApp, it's text, different, and it's very difficult to keep a trail of what's actually happening. So, Michael, you're going to be the man that's...
I am, sir, yeah. It's going to be me from now on.
It's going to be you, Michael. Okay.
Yeah.
You have my email address.
George W. MacDonald at gmail.com.
Yeah, George C.W.
Having glasses on. What I'll do is I'll email you monthly. I'll also check in with you, George, on a call as well.
It's easy to find everything that's been happening.
Yeah,
I guess. Like, as I say, I mean, I've been getting texts, I've been getting WhatsApp messages, emails, phone calls.
The front end team or customer care team, they use every tool just to try and get your information.
That's fine. But
from now on,
I mean,
it'll just be me, you, and in emails.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's good.
Okay.
So, another question is now, Drew says it was going to, I think, September, October. It was going to take 9 months from September for this to go through. Is that still the case?
No, there's a massive bottleneck in some of these local authorities. It can take up to between 6 and 10 months as of now.
March, it can take between 6 and 10 months.
Yeah.
I know what's happening because, as I say, last year, I was told it's going to take, but it does take, I mean, Redress Scotland says it takes 9 months,
that's
what they're saying.
That's just, all you do there is put your name, your details in.
Right.
And that's just applying,
that's fine.
That's
fine. Yeah. So, there should be I've discussed this with my wife. Everybody, my granny at MMA was saying, "Oh, you're going to get top money, top whack for this." So how much, honestly, is that an honest figure? Do you think that the worst case scenario, how much is it going to be?
Okay, I can't give you obviously individual assess figures. What I can give you is an average figure from the Scottish Redress over the last 3 to 5 years, and their average claim value is 55k.
And up from that 55, you'll get 12,500. Is that correct?
10%. 20% is 11,000, inclusive of VAT.
11,000, and I'll get of the 50. 44. That's fine. Good.
I just need to go over our fees with you before I leave you, George. Obviously, I need to make sure you fully understand everything, and what other options are out there for you.
Let's stop. The reason that I'm not going with Redress lawyers is because I don't trust them.
Okay.
They're the government. They are the government. It's the government lawyers. I don't trust them. It's as simple as that.
Just following up from that then, George, there are other law firms out there who will help you apply, but they won't charge you any fees. They get paid directly from the Scottish Government. It's called the Government Legal Fee.
Yeah, no.
They get paid £2,000.
£2,000, that's it.
We reject that. We don't take any handouts.
No, I'll stand by my guns. 20%, if I get £50,000, you get £10,000. That's or if I get £100,000, you get £20,000. That's it. But no more. No more than that. No more than 20%.
Never pay us more than 20%.
Absolutely. That's fine.
If we win, George, if you lose, we lose. We will never put you under any sort of financial duress.
Yeah.
You've been through enough, hardship in your life through your childhood and wherever.
Our regulator,
the SRA, would shut us down within an instant. And we wouldn't do it anyway. It's just we wouldn't do that. It's a genuine no win, no fee, it is what it says on the tin.
Yeah. But then there's something got to come out. Even if it's £10,000, you'll get £2,000.
Yeah, of course. It's our job to say, listen, I'm going to be dead honest with you. Sexual abuse, and we can prove that you were there when the abuse happened, is not a £10,000 claim. That's also I'm going to stick my neck out and say.
No, it's a what claim?
It's not a £10,000 claim for a sexual abuse.
Yeah. Grabbing my, And then that's when there's nipple twists, they called it, you shouldn't have been touching me.
No, So, is that okay, George? Do you have any questions for me, buddy?
The time, I imagine this is going to take some time, so you say you'll contact me every month. Every month. Or even every 2 weeks. Every month?
Well, I can email you every 2 weeks. I'll probably call you once a month, if that's okay.
So
you have my number. You can call me whenever you want, George.
I don't have your number, do I?
Yeah, you save it. I've just rang you now on it. Save it.